1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Steve Kathan. Several feet of snow in California, Sierra Nevada. Lesser amounts to the north and east.
Craziness. It's crazy out there.
Awesome sledding.
But the forecast has what could be a dangerous punch in the southern plains. Sheena Martin's a meteorologist at CBS TV affiliate KNOE in Monroe, Louisiana.
We have a medium threat for tornadoes, strong winds up to 70 miles per hour, quarter-sized hail, and isolated flash flooding will all be possible. So it is very important to make sure that you have multiple ways to receive alerts.
And Carol Weeps is like a lot of relatives of Pan Am 103 victims upon hearing the news that a Libyan suspect is in custody 34 years later.
Wow, it's actually a reality. I did have a lot of faith in them that this day would come.
It's not clear how the U.S. came to get the bomb-making suspect in custody. The blast that brought down the flight over Scotland killed 270 people, 190 Americans. Federal officials indicate there were more than 8,600 hate crimes reported in this country in 2021. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
These statistics for 2021 show nearly 65% of victims were targeted based on the offender's bias against race or ethnicity, more than 15% biased against sexual orientation, and 13% for religious bias. Many of the crimes involved intimidation, then simple assault and aggravated assault.
A new report on screen time raises questions about the effects on young minds.
30 seconds.
For every hour that 9 and 10 year olds spent playing video games, their chances of developing obsessive compulsive behavior increased 13%. Every hour they watched videos, they were 11% more likely to develop OCD.
Children who spend excessive time playing video games report feeling the need to play more and more.
Dr. Jason Nagata, a pediatrician at UC San Francisco, recommends parents limit screen time, especially before bed, and be good role models.
One of the big predictors of child screen use is what their parents do.
The study is published in the Journal of Adolescent Health. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
Well, CBS's Deborah Rodriguez tells us Golden Globe nominations get Hollywood's award season going.
Just tell me what I've done to you.
I just don't like you no more.
Banshees of Inisherin, about two lifelong friends who sever their relationship, has snagged the most Golden Globe nods with 8.
Mrs. Wang, are you with us?
I am paying attention.
Everywhere All at Once has 6.
We got like 40 guys coming to be in the movie.
Steven Spielberg's The Fabelmans and Elvis are also in contention for top prizes.
Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell.
But Tom Cruise and Will Smith were shut out.
Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 278 points. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Get off the endless debt treadmill and start saving money each month. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Resolve your credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and even timeshares. Call now at 800-208-1312 for free information. For over 15 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands get out of debt. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to get your debt resolved for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 800-208-1312. That's 800-208-1312. 800-208-1312.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, "That's a surefire hit." Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week, I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple, yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. 20 communities across Wisconsin voted to approve referendums to pay for public safety during midterm elections. Governor Evers has pushed for increasing state shared revenue to local governments to help pay for police, but these initiatives have not passed the GOP-led legislature. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he thinks referendums are a good thing because it opens up the discussion beyond a basic level, but admitted that inflation is making it harder for local governments to pay public employees. Some local governments feel that the need to go to referendum to pay for public safety services is a sign that the state has underfunded its share of paying for these services. Voss said he is open to the idea of updating the shared revenue formula, doing something different. According to WPR, Governor Evers proposed increasing state shared revenue for local governments by $91 million to pay for public safety. In volleyball, San Diego will take on Texas, and Pittsburgh versus Louisville. NCAA semifinals will begin on December 15th. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until midnight Thursday morning. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 35. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 28 tonight, cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 37. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Moving along the highway. California with me. I'm almost 2,000 miles from my home, sweet home. 2,000 miles from the arms that bore me. 2,000 miles from my sweet home, Milwaukee.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, our dear friend, friend of the entire Civic Media Network, really. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area is here. And we're going to talk about, what do you think? Milwaukee.
We're going to talk about Milwaukee. What a surprise.
What
I'm here
surprise.
To talk about Milwaukee.
I know. So, well, first, do you have a good weekend?
Yeah, not too bad. You know, I had some family visiting from out of town that was visiting to not have to pay Christmas prices on their travel.
Got it. Okay.
So we had some family visiting now instead of on December 25th.
Oh, so, that's fun. So we did an early Christmas.
Did an early Christmas with my Aunt Jo and Uncle Tom and celebrated my uncle's birthday as well. So it was a good weekend.
Fun.
Yeah.
I'm recovering from our holiday party on Saturday, if you couldn't tell from the slower pace, potentially.
It was a good party.
It was a very good party. All right. So you brought this up, and I had seen this op-ed come out last Friday from Marciela Nicholson and Jose G. Perez that was printed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that feels like another plea for a sales tax in Milwaukee.
Or for some kind of local revenue
yes.
solution, whether it's sales tax, whether it's shared revenue. You know, I think there is a pretty remarkable story here within this because it shows how aligned Milwaukee leadership is, mm-hmm. which wasn't always the case. You know, I'm thinking back to, you know, when I covered things happening in the city in the early 2010s, you know, there wasn't always that type of agreement with Tom Barrett and the Common Council.
Yeah.
There definitely wasn't that type of agreement with Chris Abley and the county board. He often clashed with Chairwoman Marina Dmitrievich or Theo Lipscomb. There was a lot of infighting at the county and the city, but now there seems to be kind of a lot of alignment and a lot of alignment on this particular issue because they, you know, these are the people writing the helping approve the budgets, which just happened in Milwaukee County and in the city of Milwaukee. And I think it's very interesting that the two leaders of the, you know, the Common Council and the county board are coming together and delivering this message in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying we need a solution. We can't keep going like this. We can't continue to cut services over and over and over again, which is what they've been doing for the past decade plus. You know, it's not, you know, there's not a lot of like bloated programs happening in Milwaukee County that every, you know, city service has been stripped to the bone without them really having a choice. You know,
yeah.
Cuts have really been the only option in the city of Milwaukee for much of the past decade. You know, I did a story earlier in the budget cycle talking to the new budget director, Nick Kovac. He said the city is out $150 million because of the cut to shared revenue. You know, that is the type of thing that would fund the police and fund the libraries and fund the fire department and all the different things that got cut in this most recent city budget. And without the federal dollars that came in from pandemic relief, the cuts for that would have been really severe. And I think that is what you know, Chairwoman Nicholson and Common Council President Perez are looking at here, because they see the cliff that's coming. I'm gonna read one portion of the piece here from the op-ed, talking about, you know, the different challenges that they face. As I pull it up here. Okay, so I'm quoting here from the piece. There is no level of reduction that will allow us to budget our way out of the revenue crisis the city and county face while providing adequate services for residents. The county board and common council have been able to avoid major cuts through a combination of smart budgeting and an influx of federal dollars, but this will only be possible for one or two more years. Without a solution, the city of Milwaukee will be required to eliminate 25% of its workforce by 2025. Milwaukee County will be unable to fund any non-mandated services, including parks, cultural institutions, and transit by 2027. So when I read that, the alarms are going off. This, yeah, to me feels like the biggest story in Milwaukee, in the city of Milwaukee, in Milwaukee County right now, because we absolutely have to address this now, because those federal dollars are running out. And we don't have a long-term solution because we have not had a partner in the state government.
Well, and it's just so frustrating because this is not just a Milwaukee story. It is a huge story because it is Milwaukee, and Milwaukee is the biggest city. It is, you know, the heart of GDP in Wisconsin. Like, the fact that we continue to be the, for lack of a better term, the redheaded stepchild is how we're treated in as a city in this at the Capitol. But it's also, this is the same story as far as when it comes to shared revenue that is across the state. I mean, there is plenty of Republican or right-leaning mayors and common councils or city councils who are dealing with the exact same budget decisions that says there's no more left to cut. This is not a problem of us being bloated, us not making, like, being willing to make the hard choices. This is coming down to there is no more money to fund the things that need to actually pick up the garbage or do ambulances or do police and schools. And I mean, and we saw that exactly, that there is a willingness of most voters to pay for those services, because we saw a record number of not only referenda on the 2022 midterm November ballot, but that referenda passed. And so the amount of the number of actual ballot, like, on, like, measures, but then also the number of the money that was had now been approved. And when I had our mutual friend Ari Brown from Wisconsin Policy Forum come on and try to break this down, I was like, to me, that looks like a willingness to pay taxes or pay more in taxes in order to get certain things funded. And yet the conversation, it seems like, at the state level always comes back to what to do with this surplus is more tax cuts.
Right. It's such a frustrating dynamic because we have a situation that the Republican-controlled state legislature has effectively starved local communities of shared revenue over the past decade plus. Really, going back to the beginning of, back to 2000, is kind of when a lot of these changes began to happen. And so that we have the $6 billion surplus while Milwaukee is scraping around trying to find any grant that it can to fund things like libraries or public housing or affordable housing or transit or all these different things that have just been cut as the state legislature continues to consolidate both money in the terms of its budget and power in the sway that it says over that money, right? So I think, you know, there was a tweet from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss over the weekend saying that he has, I think the term he used was, I forget exactly, but he was criticizing local governments for their spending, even as he's the one cutting their revenue. It's such a frustrating dynamic that we have in the state. And so much of these local questions are tied to the state because Milwaukee does not have the option to enact a local sales tax or raise its revenue the way that many other similarly sized municipalities would. The only option Milwaukee really has, you know, at the city level is to raise property taxes, and at the county level to implement things like a wheel tax. Well, that Chris Abley tried to do that when he was county executive.
What is a wheel tax?
It just basically raises, you know, more or less raises car registration fees. And adds a tax for people who live in Milwaukee. Chris Abley tried to do that, and then that was one of the many things that he fought about with the county board. Eventually got voted down, but it was, you know, it's like basically the only option that Milwaukee County has to raise additional revenue. So when we talk about, you know, the ability to address public safety, address so many of the problems that Milwaukee has, you know, it really comes back to the same question. And I think it's really interesting to go back to this op-ed. You know, just, there's so much agreement among city leaders. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, a new wave of city leadership that has come in over these past, you know, 3-4 years here with County Executive David Crowley, Mayor Cavalier Johnson. This isn't the old guard of Milwaukee. This is a new generation taking hold, and they are all in agreement to see that what the big problem is in Milwaukee, and the big problem is revenue. And we don't have an option to change that without having a partner in the state government.
And that is what it comes back to, is just, it sounds like you said, besides property taxes, our only way forward is through partnership at the state legislature.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, part of this is just the reality of purple state politics, right? Where you have to have these blue cities and oftentimes, you know, red state governments where you have to make these bargains to chart a new course forward, or else you're going to have these lingering problems fester and become, you know, more and more problematic. But part of it is just the fundamentals. And this is something that I write about a lot at the recombobulation area, whether it's gerrymandering, whether it's these, you know, Byzantine rules about who and where and how can raise revenue. The fundamentals of our democracy in Wisconsin are in a very problematic place. And so there's no accountability for the state legislature for making these decisions that they do because of the gerrymandering. And there's no ability to do anything about it from the local level because the state legislature has boxed out any local municipalities. And, you know, and to get back to another thing you said, this is not just a Milwaukee problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just Milwaukee. There was a conference recently at the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. They're all in agreement. The shared revenue system is broken. You know, they didn't go as far as I'm going to now and say the Republicans are the one who broke it, but they have acknowledged that it is broken. You know, you have some of the wealthiest communities in the state, like the city of Brookfield, that is facing the same problems.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that was what we talked about with Middleton. Middleton is one, and at least in those are communities that have engaged voters who also are willing to, like we said, spend more in taxes, and so they're voting on these individual referenda. And I understand that. Sometimes the frustration with taxes is you don't really know what you're funding. And so sometimes if it's a distinct outline, we are going to use this increased amount of money to pay for XYZ thing, whether it's a new school or services or whatever. But it just feels like one of the many frustrations of like, because I feel like so often how you write, how I write or talk is like, all right, so what can I do? What can the average person do? And this just feels like, since I've moved back, so many people are raising the alarm about this, and yet there's been no movement.
Yeah, I started the recombobulation area in 2019. The second column I wrote for the recombobulation area was about this very issue. And so this is not anything new. I think it has been thrust to the forefront by new leadership who is really championing this. And I think the time is now to get something done.
All right, well, Dan Schaefer will still be here when we come back from the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ooh, you know this train was born in my mama's dream to be happy. That's so fine. Saying roll on Milwaukee Road. Warm up the tracks of coal. Sweet train born in my mama's dream to be happy. Yeah, 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 yeah. Gonna be happy, boy.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you, or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community, because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill, bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her 15th. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Waukesha's only news talk station.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I have one more segment before I'm going to hand it over to my dear friend Dan Schaefer, who's going to take over for the rest of the show. Thank you for doing that.
I'm going to take the wheel and try not to drive it into a ditch.
Well, supposedly, Jane was a big fan of when you were you covered for me while I was gone. So
you do a great job, Dan.
Yeah, so we're very happy that you were able to help me out today.
That's good.
But kind of a preview for tomorrow, when I'm back, we're going to have urban planner and outspoken urban planner Robin Palm is going to be here because today and Wednesday is the new hearings on the expansion of the I-94,
which
you have written an award-winning series on for the recombobulation area. So are you planning to, I guess you can't go today because you're here.
Yeah, today I'm going to skip this one today. Today the hearing is from 3 to 7 at State Fair Park. So that will be the kind of the first of those. And then there's another on Wednesday at Marquette University High School. From what I heard from some of my sources on this, there's probably going to be a lot more people at the one at Marquette University High School because that is closer to the people who are actually impacted by this project instead of having to, probably drive out to State Fair Park. It's there has been remarkably little public hearings on this billion-dollar project as it has unfolded. You know, you hear all the time about, you know, with different developments in different cities, and you're talking about, oh, can we build a new apartment building here? Can we build a new commercial building here? And there's all these different, discussions, and you get the NIMBYs talking about how we can't build something like this. And for the billion-dollar reconstruction of a 3.5-mile stretch of highway that is going to impact everybody in the Milwaukee region. I believe this is the first public hearing that we've had on this project since Evers revived it in 2020.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was looped in as part of the state budget and people could make public comment as part of the state budget process. One of the things that Democrats and Republicans in Wisconsin do agree on is that we should be widening a highway in the middle of the most segregated metropolitan area in the country. Glad that they could come together on that one. There just has not been that much of a public process on this. And so this one, not even a public hearing, in Madison, like a typical public hearing might be held. You're having it, of course, it makes sense to have it kind of within the scope of the project. Where people impacted can really make their voices heard. There's going to be a press conference with a number of the highway opposition groups. The Wisconsin Coalition for More Responsible Transportation is having a press conference today before the beginning of that. I think we'll have some more to talk about after that as well. But Yeah, it's you know, they went with the 8-lane option. It's a better plan than the one that they had initially introduced in 2020, but it's still not a good plan.
So explain to people and remind people the crux of what the plan is and why people are against this plan.
Yeah, so the crux of the plan is to widen the freeway from 6 to 8 lanes between 16th Street and 70th Street, a 3.5-mile stretch of I-94 that will also include the reconstruction of the stadium interchange. So initially, when I wrote about this project for that series you mentioned, Expanding the Divide at the Recombobulation Area, 3-time Milwaukee Press Club Award winner, when I initially wrote about that, the cost estimate for the 8-lane option was about $1.2 billion, and the cost estimate for the 6-lane option was between $800 and $850 million. And then when they went through and did the study, magically, the 6-lane option costs increased about 40% to about $1.1 billion, and the 8-lane option stayed about the same. So it seems like the engineers had an end result in mind when they were configuring that. And what the opposition groups are saying is that, you know, we need to reconstruct the highway. We need to get rid of many of the left turn exits that are the main safety concern in that corridor. But we don't need to expand the footprint of this highway. We need to fix at six lanes, and reconstruct the highway in its current footprint to not only save money, which highways costs a whole lot of money in the state of Wisconsin, but also to, you know, mitigate many of the environmental concerns. There are a lot of racial justice, social justice groups that are opposed to this because the highway would be widened in many of these diverse neighborhoods in the city of Milwaukee that are trying to grow, trying to turn things around, you know, places like Merrill Park. Now, through this process, since Evers revived it, they have been fairly receptive to a lot of the changes. You know, they're not moving out a lot of the businesses and houses the way the initial plans were constructed. The stadium interchange is, you know, the initial plans for it was this like crazy big triple-decker monstrosity. It has been scaled back significantly, costing about $75 million less. You're welcome, taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin, for those of us who have been showing up at these public hearings. It's going to not cost as much, not going to be as big, but it still is, you know, widening the highway in the middle of the most segregated metropolitan area in the country.
Yeah, this is such a big story that's going to affect so many people, and the nuances of it get lost, I think, as far as if it weren't for people like you or Robin Palm, who will be here tomorrow. And so break down a little bit more tomorrow with him, what happens at the hearing today, maybe predict what could happen at the hearing on Wednesday, but we will keep you up to date on what decisions come from those hearings on As Goes Wisconsin. But for now, I am going to sign off and let Dan take over the big chair, and I will be back tomorrow. But stay tuned because Representative Evan Goyke is going to be coming up next. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm going home. My baby she rolled me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once I'm home. Anyway, yeah, a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home.
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
When the weather is cold, it's wonderful to warm up with freshly roasted coffee or a delicious tea like turmeric ginger. Family Natural Foods carries organic and Wisconsin roasted coffees and teas to delight your senses and warm you from the inside out. Find Wisconsin-based Wonder State, Liberation Farms, and Ruby Coffee roasted local and fresh. They also carry Reishi Tea, an independently owned Milwaukee company inspired by tradition. Warm up at Family Natural Foods.
Face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Health Services Secretary Karen Timberlake says she'll resign on January 2nd. Timberlake led Wisconsin through crises like the COVID-19 pandemic and a statewide hospital worker shortage. The Republican Party of Wisconsin has a new leader and a new fundraising strategy. Brian Schimming was elected as state party chairman over the weekend. Schimming will be the first paid Wisconsin GOP chair. Republicans are trying to counter the fundraising advantage Democrats have enjoyed under a paid statewide chair. Foxconn has accomplished the benchmark for $8.6 million in tax credits and subsidies. The Evers administration says Foxconn created almost 770 jobs and spent more than $77 million on its plant near Racine. In April of 2021, the state revised the contract with Foxconn and created more realistic goals for job creation by the end of 2025 to about 11% of the original plan. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until midnight Thursday morning. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 35. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 28 tonight, cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 37. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. I am here. Jane, I'm back in the seat.
You are back in the seat and you're doing a spectacular. That was a great open there.
Thank you.
That was a
Thank
good
you.
Start,
You guys
Dan.
Set me up. You guys have me prepared. All I could do is sit down and read something.
That
I can
works.
Do that.
That works.
I can handle that. We are actually joined in person for our next segment here by State Representative Evan Goyke, who is also just announced last week that he's going to be running for the office of Milwaukee City Attorney. So we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be talking about his role in the legislature. But first, Evan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dan. And Kristen, even though she's not here.
That's right. And It's always good to talk to you because you are my state representative. You represent many of the communities on the west side of Milwaukee, including mine in Washington Heights.
Yeah, thanks for the support, maybe. I don't know. I was listening to the last segment and nearly broke through the glass because you're talking about a lot of things that I've worked on over the years and a lot of important issues for the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, your district's right in the footprint for that I-94. You're right in the mix for, you know, talking about things like shared revenue. We can circle back to that, but I want to first start a little bit about the news you made last week announcing that you will be running for city attorney.
Yeah, thanks. I was excited to launch the campaign. It is early. This is an April of 2024 election, but we need a change in that office. And I, in 2020, supported Mr. Spencer, the incumbent, the person that holds that job now, and we've seen a whole string of problems that really are unacceptable. And we've seen in the city what happens when that law firm, when the city's law firm is not functioning, not staffed properly, not led properly. And so, I love Milwaukee. I've been a champion for the city in the legislature in Madison. And I think it's time that I answer the call at home. And we have a lot of really amazing young leaders in Milwaukee, and I'm excited to join them and work hand in hand with them to grow our community.
Now, for those who might not be, you know, in the weeds on political news and what each office, you know, what the responsibilities are for each individual office in the city of Milwaukee, what exactly is the city attorney's job?
I will say I think that the public consciousness of the importance of this office has grown over the last couple of years because we've seen what happens when we don't have adequate accountable and transparent leadership. The city attorney's office does a lot. There are over 30 lawyers that handle huge, you know, 50 plus areas of advice and legal representation. So it's everything from actually, you know, representing the city in personal injury case, if somebody's driving a garbage truck and gets in a car accident, to advising the city council or the school board on public policy matters, municipal courts, if you get a traffic citation or a municipal citation of some kind. And so it's this huge range of issues. A city attorney also helps guide land use and development policies when the city is the real estate owner or using public funds. So it touches all kinds of things, for, you know, helping to get the deal to build Pfizer Forum and enforcing parking tickets if you park illegally in front of the Pfizer Forum during a Bucks game.
So a lot of like very wonky details of how city government operates and a really, you know, important behind the scenes role.
I think shouldn't hear from the city attorney too often because it should be a kind of head down, good government, quiet, efficient and effective office. And I think I have a proven track record of doing that. And Madison, I think that's kind of what, you know, I'm a try to be a wonky, nerdy legislator. I really have always been a student of government, and it's a passion of mine just to see our city run as well as possible. And I think this is an important role and an important moment for me to step up and raise my hand and answer the call for new leadership in that office.
Now, the current city attorney, Tierman Spencer, he has invited a lot of controversy during his time as city attorney. You know, what are some of the things that have happened there that have, like you said, you supported him in 2020 when he was elected? But what are some of the things that have, you know, made you change your mind about that?
Well, you know, I think there are some personal things that he's been accused of, mistreating and sexually harassing subordinate staff. I think it's really troubling that the office has had the level of turnover that it's had. They've really struggled to attract and retain top legal talent. You know, I think there's upwards of, you know, three quarters of the lawyers that were in the office before he took office have left, and many lawyers that he's hired have left, you know, weeks, months, or years after. So that instability really hurts. And we've seen it played out. And, you know, cases have become delayed because, you know, a lawyer will leave the office and then a new lawyer will be hired. Well, as you can imagine, if you're the lawyer representing the city on a complex piece of litigation, a lawsuit, you can't get hired on a Monday and go to court on that case on a Tuesday. It takes time to get up to speed, and we've seen delays, and the frustration has boiled over from county and federal judges. And one of the things that I'm upset about is there really hasn't been any accountability. There's been a lot of excuses made for why all of these things have happened, but the buck stops with the guy at the top. And you really haven't heard Mr. Spencer answer any of these criticisms or take any responsibility. And so I think he's got to go. I think I'm the right person to lead that office, to bring the stability, and to lead the office going forward.
Evan, I'm just curious, isn't there someone who can go in there and slap his hand with a ruler or something? It just doesn't seem like anyone has done anything.
Well, I think you should be the one to do that. We got to send you to City Hall.
I volunteer.
The accountability that we have will come in April of 2024 when I defeat him and am elected the new city attorney. And that's the accountability that we have. We've seen some of these behaviors. I think if he were to do everything he's been alleged of doing and he worked in corporate America, he'd be fired. But those rules don't apply to elected officials. Our method of accountability is getting a challenge and having an election. I welcome your spirit. I am not encouraging violence of any kind against anyone. We'll take him out at the ballot box in just a little bit.
Well, if and when you get elected to that office, Evan, I'm always available as ruler enforcer. So if you need someone to come in, I'm there for you.
Thank you.
Not exactly the type of support that you may be expected to be cultivating here on As Goes Wisconsin.
I am not
today.
Please do not slap anybody. This is
just Jane here. Just she's gonna
watch
get everybody
out for Jane.
In line. So I think it's interesting because not only was this I think you laid out a number of the reasons why you announce a candidacy more than 2 years before the election, because it is such a problematic office at this point. But before he was elected, there was somebody in that office for a very long time. City Attorney Grant Langley was there from 1984 to 2020.
Right.
Like you said, it's not the type of office that has invited a lot of, public attention over the years. Perhaps that's the type of attitude that you're looking to bring there.
Well, hopefully, and I'm not necessarily running to turn back the clock and just do things the way they used to be done. I intend on setting my own course and my own vision. I will say that under the last administration, the last city attorney, I got to work with lawyers in that office in Madison to craft legislation in consecutive legislative sessions, and that's really where I fell in love with what they do. I got to work with assistant city attorneys, and we came up with legislative solutions in Madison to issues they were addressing on the street level, block level, in our community in Milwaukee. Cracked down on problematic landlords that were taking advantage of a loophole in how they were buying distressed and abandoned properties. We addressed, a crime problem where owners of a tobacco shop, a tobacco-only retail, really had no ramifications for the problems that were going on their properties. And too often those properties became a magnet for crime. So right around the corner from my house on 27th and Kilbourne, we had a tobacco shop where the cops were called more than 400 times in 1 year. I mean, that's every single day, cops being, taking them away from their patrol or their investigation to respond to, chronic nuisance property. And we couldn't do anything about it. We couldn't uphold the standard of public safety that we have, that we want. And so working with assistant city attorneys and other stakeholders, we passed a law to change that, and it's been successful. So I really got a front row seat for, I worked alongside assistant city attorneys for years, and it really showed me how important that office is and the role of those assistant city attorneys upholding public safety and quality of life issues in my own neighborhood and throughout the city.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think, one of the issues from following your work in the state legislature that you've been very involved in is criminal justice reform. How does that type of issue connect to the office of city attorney?
It's an interesting connection that there are thousands of different factors that mix together that result in why somebody might make the decision to commit a crime. But we know that, you know, healthy neighborhoods, neighborhoods that are thriving, we see big crime decreases. And even in neighborhoods that I've represented over the time that I've represented them, have had big swings and big reductions and sometimes, unfortunately, increases in crime. So how the city attorney can impact that, they are the enforcement arm, the ultimate enforcement arm of city government. And so let me take one really big example, housing and quality housing. You know, substandard housing might not be immediately directly connected to crime, but you can see if somebody doesn't take care of their property or mow their lawn or they allow the porch to fall off, it ripples through the entire block, through the entire neighborhood. And the city attorney is the enforcement arm at the end of the day to take that property owner to court and force their hand to be a better landlord, to be a better property owner, to meet the community standard. And we're seeing, I have neighbors down the street from me that have hired a private lawyer to take a landlord to court to declare the property a nuisance because the city attorney's office declined to listen, declined to take action. And this is, again, kind of like that tobacco shop police being called over and over and over again, issues on the property that weren't addressed by the landlord. This landlord has hundreds of municipal citations hanging out open in court. We're not doing anything about it. And that's a choice. And it's, you know, going to be different under my administration. If I'm elected city attorney, we are going to clamp down on these guys. No one deserves to live in substandard housing. We're seeing far too much of our money in our community flowing out of our community to out of city, out of state property owners that don't fix up their property, and enough's enough.
And those are problems that just mount.
And over they do. Time. And so you asked the question about crime, but if we allow neighborhoods to fall into that condition, those are the type of conditions where crime can fester and you know, they're magnets of those crimes of opportunity or property crimes, and then that leads and it snowballs, and you lose any kind of hope or, you know, that civic engagement. And I've seen the opposite happen. You know, in a neighborhood near ours, Washington Park, had this really dedicated and committed community organizing, and housing was a central part of that. They had a 29% reduction in crime over 3 years. And that's, you know, big time quality of life improvement for the residents of that neighborhood.
We're talking here with State Representative Evan Goyke, who is joining us in studio today on As Goes Wisconsin. That campaign that you just announced last week for Milwaukee City Attorney, that race is not until 2024. You have some more pressing business in front of you here, and we're going to get into that in the next segment. You were just appointed once again to the Joint Finance Committee. We're going to be talking about that. I'm Dan Schaefer, filling in for Kristen Bry on As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Came home from Iraq, I could still hear the booms. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
Thanks to DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Hello, how are you doing today?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Are you an organ donor?
Yes, I am.
Yay! My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing. It really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Monday, Monday. So good to me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am filling in today for Kristen Bry. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. A reminder that we love hearing from you. If you've got a topic you think we should cover, have an idea for a guest we should have on, you got any other different kinds of feedback, you can email us at asgoeswisconsin@gmail.com. I should also mention that I am the editor and writer of the Recombobulation Area, and I currently am inviting guests or inviting readers to send us questions for our reader mailbag. I've got a number of good questions already, and you can continue to send me those at therecombobulationarea@gmail.com. We are joined this half hour in person, in studio, by State Representative Evan Goyke. We talked in the first segment here about his newly announced campaign for Milwaukee City Attorney. And now we're going to talk about some, but that election is not until 2024. So we're going to be talking about some more immediate business on Representative Goyke's plate, as he has once again been named to the very powerful, very important Joint Finance Committee in the Wisconsin State Legislature. How many terms now have you been on the JFC?
This will be my third budget.
All right. So
I know where to sit now. I know I'm like not nervous. I think I got it down.
All right. Yeah, don't have to ask anybody where to go get a coffee, anything like that.
You know, it's interesting. There's been a lot of turnover in the legislature, and I never thought I'm the old guy now.
Now you're the senior assembly representative on the Joint Finance Committee for the Democrats. So that is a committee that, it often crafts the state budget, and it has under Republican control a pretty overwhelming partisan makeup. It is 12 Republicans to 4 Democrats. So there are two Democratic representatives from the assembly and 2 Democratic representatives from the Senate. And then there are 6 apiece for the Republicans in that committee. And so, looking forward to this session compared to the other ones that you've been a part of, what do you expect to happen differently this time around?
You know, I think that in November, Governor Evers, his victory was nearly 3 times the size of his original victory. I hope that Republicans see that their past 2 years or past 2 budgets and past 4 years of really not working with the governor and kind of doing their own thing didn't work for them, and that the electorate is looking for more cooperation and collaboration. So I'm expecting that this budget process be different. You know, just to give listeners context, you know, the last 2 times the governor's introduced his budget, and then the Republicans on Joint Finance have just put it in the garbage can and started over from scratch on their own. So I guess we can look to day one about do the Republicans take the governor's budget and build off of it, or do they just set it aside and do their own thing? And I'm hopeful this time, if they're paying attention to their own losses, it'd be wise if they reach out and actually work more collaboratively with, you know, Democrats in the legislature and Governor Evers.
Yeah, Governor Evers winning by 3.5%. I think that qualifies as a Wisconsin landslide.
It's a Wisconsin landslide.
That's what
it's
everybody's calling
landslide.
It now, the Wisconsin landslide. Two-term Tony coming back for another session here. I think we had some announcements last week about when he was planning, you know, the State of the State address in early February and some other, you know, important dates to keep in mind there as well. But like you said, it's after that election victory, I think that was a sign to Republicans in the state that their process wasn't working. You know, they did so much of what they did during Governor Evers' time was really defined by obstruction. Right. The gavel in, gavel outs, refusing public hearings on basically any bill with a Democratic author to it. Do you get the sense that we're going to get past that obstruction in term two? Because so much of that strategy seemed to be geared around making sure Tony Evers was a one-term governor. Yeah, and so they failed. And it's going to change.
Yeah, and just
maybe,
it started even before the session started with the lame duck, the last parting shot that Governor Walker signed to change the executive power of the attorney general and the governor.
Where he demonstrated a fantastic understanding of Venn diagrams,
That's right. The worst Venn diagram ever drawn. I'm optimistic. You know, I have been, since the election, I've talked to and seen and called a number of my Republican colleagues as we start to build out, what legislative agendas look like. And I'll tell you, from the rank and file membership, there is a different tone and a different approach. Whether that is reflected, whether, Speaker Voss or Majority Leader LeMahieu in the Senate will listen and allow the rank and file members to really move forward with more bipartisan and collaborative approach, we'll see. But I'm optimistic. Before I came on, you were talking about shared revenue and local government funding. That's an area that we need to solve. Red and blue areas of the state equally impacted, different needs in different parts of the state, but a similar challenge. So I think that will be a real signature issue in the state budget to look and to follow, to see if that kind of bipartisanship is tracking. K-12 education, where COVID relief aid is coming to a close. State aid is going to need to increase to fill those gaps. That'll be a huge priority. Obviously challenges in healthcare, workforce. There are others out there, but I'd really pay close attention to the local government funding. I mean, we have been just trying our best. Milwaukee leaders have been trying their best, and I think something positive can be possible in this coming session.
Well, that's good. I like to hear some optimism about things actually getting done in the state of Wisconsin, because it hasn't really happened all that much in the last 4 years. And I think, in the lone gubernatorial debate that we had, Governor Evers really highlighted shared revenue as a top priority. Just the real flashy Governor Evers proposal to really stand up on that debate stage and get people fired up about shared revenue. Yeah.
What listeners need to know is that the most intimate ways we connect with government are at the local level.
Absolutely.
Garbage, recycling, police, fire, libraries, the streets and gutters, parks, and it touches the way we live and the way we conduct our lives. And so it's such a priority because it impacts every single unit of local government in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and as we talked about in the last segment, I was mentioning the op-ed from the county board chair and the common council president. There's a pretty unique alignment in Milwaukee, in particular, on addressing this issue.
I agree, and I think I'm so proud of the leadership in both Marcelia Nicholson and Jose Perez, but also David Crowley and Chevy Johnson. There is this moment in Milwaukee right now where everybody is rowing in the same direction, and it's really exciting. And look, I think the election, the message was clear. People want solutions, not rhetoric. They don't want to be yelled at. They want people to sit down around the table. We have to solve the fiscal issues in Milwaukee, county, city, and towns all around the state. So watch local government funding and shared revenue.
State Representative Evan Goyke, thank you so much for joining us here on As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry, and we will be right back.
Won't go.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man in foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
There are so many mountains to climb, and we do it together.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
Seeing Alex learning how to snow ski, that's life-changing.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Alex did it. He skied down this mountain. That's something he won't forget.
With the right support, there are no limits.
To see him on that slope and smiling like that, we'll be taking this home.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Alex Hussey, thank you for your service. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.